There is so much to learn about our Father's love, much more than just an intellectual understanding. We'll talk about it today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the Scriptures from a distinctive Messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Runge, is discussing the love of our Heavenly Father. I'll be back at the end of the message with a special offer. And now, here is Pastor Al Runge.
I'm speaking on a series of messages on the love of our Heavenly Father. Now, in this message, I want to talk about the nurturing love of our Heavenly Father. The word nurturing means to give tender and protective care to a child. God watches over us as a loving parent watches over his young children. After we give birth to children, we don't desert them, but we care for them. Recently, it was discovered that babies need constant love. Without love, a baby can wither away and die. Nothing is more tragic than to be brought up without love. Marilyn Monroe never knew love as a child, and so she found it hard to accept love as an adult. In his autobiography, Time Bent, Arthur Miller tells of his marriage to Marilyn Monroe. During the filming of The Misfits, Miller watched Marilyn descend into the depths of depression and despair. He feared for her life as he watched their growing estrangement, her paranoia, and a dependence on drugs. One evening after a doctor had been persuaded to give Marilyn another shot and she was sleeping, Miller stood watching her. "I found myself straining to imagine miracles," he writes. "What if she was to wake and I was able to say, 'God loves you, darling,' and she were able to believe it? How I wish I still had my religion and she hers." It is so hard for us to understand that God loves us if we have never experienced such love in our childhood. In fact, our greatest hindrance in believing in God is because we listen to the lies of the devil, who portrays God as a stern and angry judge who doesn't approve of us. The devil is a liar and one who slanders our Heavenly Father, so don't believe him. Believe God and his love. The way for us to come to love God is to understand how much he loves us. Listen to God's word in 1 John 4, verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." God is always there for us. One of the signs of the new birth is the experience of the joy of God's presence. The baby is born with nothing but himself, so he must receive everything from his parents. Not only their love, but everything he has, every provision he's given comes from his parents. 62 years ago, I became a child of God. I knew very little about God as my Heavenly Father when I came into his family, but since then I found out that he's a very generous Father. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. "For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." You know, God loves to say yes to his children. And when he says no on occasions, it is because it's not good for us. I think we would pray a whole lot more if we understood this truth. Our Lord Jesus, you know, he came to glorify his Heavenly Father and make him known to us. Listen to what he had to say in Matthew 7, verse 8. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" My wife, Lee, loves to talk to our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. She told me that in the last 8 months, God has given her 32 major answers to her prayers. Not only does God nurture us through his presence, that we can feel the joy of him being with us and his provisions, which we need, but he also nurtures us through his discipline. Discipline is an important part of nurturing. Look with me at Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, the object of chastening is to produce right thinking and right behavior. If God did not love us, he would ignore us and allow us to go on in destructive ways. But wise discipline equals true love. Some time ago, when I was a college student, I was asked to be a dormitory monitor of 12 junior high school students. One of the kids was a great deal of trouble for everyone. His mother sent him to the boarding school because she could do nothing with him since his father died. One day I had enough with him and his back talk. I took him into my room, shut the door, and did something I never did before. I turned him over my knee and spanked him. It worked like magic. He became a good kid. I met him some years later, and he said, "You saved my life through that spanking because I knew someone cared about me." Sometimes chastening requires a rebuke, and God will give it, or a word of instruction, and God will give it, and sometimes even a spanking. The Bible tells us, "And God scourges every son whom he receives." Today, disciplining children is called abuse by some, but the fact is that not disciplining them is true abuse. I don't believe in beating a child up or humiliating him with abusive and degrading language, but listen, applying the Board of Education to the seat of learning is very beneficial to a child. A spanking is not meant to break a child's spirit, but to impress that child that wrong behavior will not be tolerated. After a spanking, it is important to reassure a child with a hug and words of love and encouragement. A child needs to understand why a spanking is executed. As a newborn Christian, I expected God to correct me. Chastening may begin with only a mild rebuke, but if we ignore God's word of rebuke, the next step may be very painful. Those of my generation experienced a few spankings and lectures from our dads and are grateful for our fathers who loved us enough to discipline us. And listen to God's word in Hebrews 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, you don't give up, you don't faint, you don't turn away, you don't get bitter, then God will deal with you as mature children. For what mature child is there whom the father does not chasten? If you listen to his gentle correction, no further measures are necessary. I can remember my little girl, Sharon, when she was a little girl, my little red-headed daughter. You know, I don't remember ever spanking her. All I had to do was look at her with a disapproval glance, and she melted in tears and fell to the floor and begged for mercy and said, "I'll never do it again." And I didn't have to spank her. Quick repentance is a good way to avoid harsh discipline. Now, if you claim to be a believer, but you can sin with impunity, you better listen to Hebrews 12, verse 8. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, every child of God, then you are illegitimate and not true sons. In simple words, you have never really been born again. You may be religious, but you are without discipline, which indicates that you are not truly a child of God. Furthermore, the scripture says, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. My whole Christian experience has been a life full of blessing. After I became a believer, I felt his loving presence. I enjoyed his generosity and experienced his corrections and chastening whenever I needed them, and I appreciate them. Thank God that he cares enough to keep us walking right in right ways. What religion could not give me, my Messiah, my Yeshua HaMashiach, gave me. After all these years of walking with God, my Heavenly Father, I wanted to show him how grateful I was. And so I asked him, "What can I do, O God, my Heavenly Father, to show you that I really appreciate you and all that you have done and are doing and will do for me. Well, I wasn't sure what he would ask for. Perhaps a large financial contribution, or maybe he would send me on a very difficult errand to Africa. I didn't ever want to go to Africa because I didn't want to have to eat monkey meat. You know how you may feel, especially I do have a semi-kosher stomach. Listen to what God said to me. Just let me love you. I think that's what he would say to you. Just let me love you. Accept my love. We live in a cold world, and sometimes we find it difficult to accept unconditional love, even though that is the kind of love we all long for, and we were created for the unconditional love of God. If you are outside of God's family, it is by your decision and not by his. God has done all that he could to save you. He sent his son to die for you. His son who was resurrected and ascended is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you that you might come. He gave us his word written in the scriptures that we might know the truth. He gave us other believers who have experienced the way of salvation that can share it with us. And listen, beyond that, he's given the Holy Spirit who's ready to bring the truth into the very depths of your soul and to bring you into the family of God and regenerate you. So God invites you to come out of this cold and unloving world into the warmth of his love. All you have to do is take one step toward him and he will meet you where you are. He is so anxious, so desirous for you that if you would just reach out in your heart with a desire to know him, he will reveal himself to you. I can guarantee that to you on the basis of God's word. And my prayer for you is that you might hear and feel the tug of the Holy Spirit and come to Jesus now. I pray that for you, even though I've never met you. I pray that in the name of Jesus, my Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Runjee. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us as we look into God's Word together. If you enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that the entire series is available on compact disc. Just ask for Pastor Al Runjee's series titled, Exploring the Love of Our Heavenly Father. It's available for your gift of just $6 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397.
Hi, this is Rob Styler with CJF Ministries. I'm really excited to tell you that next year we will be returning to Israel. I think this will be our best tour ever. Fantastic itinerary, fantastic guide, fantastic hotels. Love to have you join us. Go to cjfm.org, look for the tours, or please feel free to email me, robs@cjfm.org. It's robs@cjfm.org. See you then.
And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. This is Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Pastor Al Runjee continues our series on Exploring the Love of Our Heavenly Father, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.